If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. As you undoubtedly already know, the DDF issued a document stating that we should no longer call the Virgin Mary co-redemptrix. Why? Well, because it's confusing and, quote, does not help extol Mary as the first and foremost collaborator in the work of redemption and grace, for it carries the risk of eclipsing the exclusive role of Jesus Christ. And admittedly, on the surface, it does sound like she and Jesus together redeemed humanity. Of course, that's not what it means. The DDF said that because it requires constant clarification, it does not serve the faithful, so therefore it shouldn't be used. Never mind that Mother of God, Immaculate Conception, Transubstantiation, Purgatory, Papal Infallibility, and on and on and on also need constant clarification to who? Protestants. And I think that is a big reason for this decision. Co-redemptrix is too confusing and an obstacle to Protestants. Well, who cares? I'll tell you who doesn't care. Protestants. This will make not one Protestant Catholic. In fact, it will make some of them gloat. See, the Catholic Church admits they were wrong. Thought you couldn't change Catholic doctrine. Well, it was never official. It was never defined. It was never dogmatic or infallible. They don't know that. That's not how this is being reported. It's being reported that the Catholic Church changed its doctrine, or at least that's what's implied. Which every good anti-Catholic Protestant knows the Catholic Church says can't happen. So now people like me who are surrounded by Protestants have to go into that explanation when it's brought up, because it will be brought up. So if your goal was for us to have to explain less, you failed, Victor. Here's a thought. If it's confusing, how about clarifying it? How about teaching the Catholic faith for once since Vatican II, and stop worrying about what Protestants think, because they don't care. They don't care that you guys have been watering down the faith, especially when it comes to the Virgin Mary, to make them feel more comfortable. They don't care that you wrecked the liturgy for them. They don't want it any more than we do. How about you guys do your job and clarify Catholic doctrine? If this isn't about Protestants alone, and Catholics are confused as well, then clarifying it would be more helpful. Because the document doesn't deny the theology behind the co-redemptrix, it just says that the term is problematic. Yes, I know that co-redemptrix has not been defined, but it does mean something. It didn't come out of nowhere. Just give us a rough sketch of what this has traditionally meant, because it really isn't that difficult to understand. And once you understand it, it's clear that we are not saying that Mary did anything that redeemed humanity directly. The action that redeemed humanity was solely that of Christ's, and Mary's role was supportive only. People say, well, lay people shouldn't be teaching. Okay, well, when the church decides to do its job again, instead of saying, this is too difficult, let's just not use that anymore, I don't want to explain it, make it stop, make it go away, then there will be no need for us to step up and fill in. So here goes. What does co-redemptrix mean? And you know what? If I get something wrong, let me know in the comments, because I'm not a theologian. I can only give you how I have come to understand what co-redemptrix means after months of research into what it means that I did years ago, after being hounded by Protestants about it when it was widely reported that John Paul II referred to Mary as the co-redemptrix. So I think I have a good handle on it. It has to do with Mary's role as the new Eve, mentioned by many early church fathers. Most people think that humanity fell because of Adam and Eve, but that's not true. We fell because of Adam, Romans 5, 12 and 15. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, for if many die through one man's transgression, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. Notice that it does not say a man and a woman. It says through one man, Adam. Adam is the key. Notice in Scripture, it's when Adam ate the fruit that both of their eyes were opened, Genesis 3, 6, and 7. And she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. If Adam had not eaten the fruit, humanity would not have fallen, in spite of the fact that Eve did. Who knows what would have happened to Eve? Maybe she would have been cast out and another taken her place. Likewise, if Adam was the only one to eat the fruit and Eve didn't, humanity would still have fallen, because all come from Adam, including Eve. But Eve was not innocent. She gave the fruit to Adam. She tempted Adam with the fruit. Because of her, Adam ate the fruit. She is the co-sinner, or woman with the sinner, or woman who helped the sinner. Co does not mean equal, rather it's subordinate. But the choice whether or not to eat the fruit was Adam's. And so Jesus undoes Adam's disobedience, which is direct. Adam eats the fruit, humanity falls. Jesus dies on the cross, humanity is redeemed. But Mary undoes Eve's disobedience, which is indirect. Eve gives Adam the fruit to bring about the fall. Mary supplies the fruit, her body, to bring the Redeemer into the world. This makes her the co-redemptrix, or woman with the Redeemer, or woman who helped the Redeemer. And it's not like Jesus had to have her help. He didn't have to be born of a woman at all. He could have popped into the desert, gone into Judea, and everything could have proceeded from that point on. But this is how God wanted it. And it was prophesied, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. Notice there are two in this prophecy of how God is going to undo the fall, a woman and her child. Everyone agrees that the seed of the woman mentioned in Genesis is Jesus. Well, if the child of the woman is Jesus, and Jesus is the child of Mary, then the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Mary. It's obvious. You have to go out of your way to say that it's not. And by the way, Protestants, the answer to the questions put forth in the song, Mary, Did You Know? Is yes, she did know. That's the whole point. She was shown all that would happen, the suffering her child would have to go through, as well as the pain she would suffer as a result. And she said yes. And by the way, God made redemption contingent on her yes. So it's not like if she said no, God would ask another woman. If she had said no, there would be no redemption. That is official Catholic doctrine, and that alone earns her the title of co-redemptrix. Of course, God knew ahead of time that she would say yes, and made her immaculate without the stain of original sin. So she wouldn't have said no. God basically orchestrated everything so that Mary would, of her own free will, say yes. But it was her free will choice. She freely chose to and went through the pain of watching her son suffer and die on the cross, which she united with Christ's suffering for our redemption. This is called redemptive suffering. Our sufferings united with the cross for redemption. It's a bit of a mystery, but Paul talked about it all the time. Even though he didn't use the terms redemptive suffering and co-redemption, that is what he's talking about in certain passages, such as Colossians 1:24. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And 2 Corinthians 1:5-7. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. So we are all co-redeemers. When you bring others to Christ, you are participating in the redemption of humanity and are thus a co-redeemer. When you suffer and offer it up to be united to the cross, you are participating in the redemption of humanity in some mystical way. Not that our suffering completes it or that it's even needed, but God wants us to be involved in the salvation of others, and this will cause us suffering. Why did Paul have to suffer? What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ that Paul is completing? You can't say nothing. The Bible says Paul is completing in his flesh that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. I didn't say that. The Catholic Church didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said it. Well, I think, if nothing else, Jesus didn't tell everybody. The proclamation of the gospel is what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, in this particular case anyway. Just like he could have popped up in the desert, he could have appeared to everyone and said, I did this for you, accept me and be saved, reject me and be damned. But he didn't. He had Paul and others do it. And this caused Paul much suffering, because the world didn't want to hear it. Much like the world doesn't want to hear that Mary is the co-redemptrix, and the Vatican has decided to please the world. But Mary's co-redemption is higher than anyone's, including the Apostle Paul's, because redemption wouldn't have happened without her. Christ took his humanity entirely from Mary. You and I take our humanity from both our mother and our father. Well, Jesus didn't have an earthly father. His physical body, which hung on the cross, was produced entirely from Mary. Jesus did all the work, but she made it possible for him to do the work, because that's how God wanted it. Again, look at Genesis 3:15. If Jesus made a pie, Mary supplied the flour, the shortening, and the filling for him to make the pie. She didn't make the pie, he did. But her cooperation made the pie possible. So how is it that I can even make this video after the Vatican forbade us from using the term co-redemptrix? Well, the document doesn't actually forbid us from using the term. It just says that it's problematic and inappropriate to use. And according to at least one source, the way Pope Leo signed off on this document gives it basically no requirement of assent by the laity. So the tiger has no teeth. And isn't this par for the course? I've said this several times, the post-Vatican II Church does everything on a low to no authoritative level. They know where the line is, and they won't cross it. But they also know that you don't know where the line is. So they can say these things without being authoritative while giving the impression of being authoritative. Hope that clarifies things. Until my next video, God bless.